We're going to begin tonight on a series on faith. And I want you to know that for many, many years, more than 20, close to 30, I sought to understand faith. And little by little, over the years, I would get bits and pieces. And I'm going to share with you about faith. It's up here, but to get it out here is going to be the challenge. So if I'm a little choppy, please excuse me. Don't hold that against God. But in beginning our series on faith, we're going to look tonight at what I've entitled the faith of God. The faith of God. Now, if you go to Mark chapter 11, I'll also tell you that if you get the truth of what I'm going to be sharing from God's Word over the next several teachings, it'll revolutionize your life. It'll change your life. Not because of me or anything special that I am, but because the Word is alive and it's rich and the Word of God works. God bless you, Brent. In Mark chapter 11, beginning in verse 12, this was a scripture that really I scratched my head for years and years and years on. It says, "And on the morrow, when he was come from Bethany was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he, Jesus Christ, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet." And I remember being taught that under this particular species of fig tree, that before it would produce figs, it would need to bud. If you watch a flower, if you don't see a bud, you're not going to get a flower out of that plant. Okay? If you watch a vegetable plant, if you don't see a flower, a little bud, you're not going to get fruit. Well, when Jesus Christ came, he was looking for that little bud to nibble on. And he knew that if that didn't have a bud, then it was not going to produce fruit later. That's what he knew. It says, "For the time of figs was not yet." He knew the time of figs was not yet. My tree in front of my garage is a fig tree. I know the times of figs are not yet. But when I go out there, if there's no little buds, I know that I'm never getting figs off that tree. So it wasn't that he was stupid. He just was looking for that bud. "And Jesus answering and said unto it," he spoke unto the tree, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And his disciples heard it. They went and they did some things. And in verse 20 it says, "And in the morning they passed by and they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." Now, trees don't die like this. If you go right outside my yard, as you're leaving tonight, if you look to the left, right next to where our porch is, you'll see a horrible-looking lily. And it's dying, and it's yellow, and it's brown, but it's dying from the top down. Okay? This thing died from the roots up, this tree. So they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Died backwards. "And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto him, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith
shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. You shall have them. That's the greatest law in the Word of God concerning faith, is right there. The greatest law in the Word of God. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them. You have to believe before you have the literal evidence of them. You believe first that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Verse 23 says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, you have to speak. Say unto this mountain, speak, and shall not doubt in his head. It doesn't say that. And you ought to be glad it doesn't say that. Because you got a lot of doubts going on in your head. But faith doesn't come from your head. It says, shall not doubt in your what?
Heart.
That's why you can still receive from God and still receive the benefits and blessings from God if you got doubts going on in your head. Because believing doesn't come from your head. You believe with your heart. With your heart. Verse 22. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. And then the King James puts a quotation, a little bracket in the margin. And the bracket says, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. And there's a tremendous difference between having faith in God and being told to have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. Young's literal translation, Dr. Robert Young, who many, many years ago wrote and researched and authored the Young's Concordance. He translates this verse, have faith of God. Have faith of God. The Douay version reads the same way, have the faith of God. And the Bible in basic English says, have God's faith. Have God's faith. We're told to have God's faith. God's faith. Jesus said we are to have the God kind of faith. There's a lot of different kinds of faith out there. But for the believer, we're to have the God kind of faith. We're to have the faith of God. The faith of God is revealed to us in Genesis 1. Verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, verse 3, here is the faith of God, watch it. And God said, let there be light, and there was what?
Light.
That's the faith of God. That's the kind of faith that God has. He has a kind of faith that when he says something, it comes to pass. God said, let there be light, and there was what?
Light.
There was light. See? We're encouraged. We are instructed by Jesus himself. He said, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. Verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together unto one place, and let dry land appear. And it was what? The God kind of faith is where you believe in your heart and you say in your mouth, and it is so. That's a God kind of faith. Dry land, and it was what? So. It happened. That's the God kind of faith. He spoke it out. God what? Said, let there be light. God said. Look at the parallel. For whoever shall say unto this mountain. The faith of God, the God kind of faith is where you speak.
Like God spoke. God said, let there be light. Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. And he was using a literal mountain as an example. But he was not talking about casting a mountain into the sea. What he was talking about was the mountain in your life. The mountain of fear. The mountain of anxiety. The mountain of worry. The mountain of doubt. The mountain of confusion. The mountain of sickness. Speak unto your mountain is what he was teaching you. You got to speak unto your mountain. Whatever is going on in your life. Because if you're going to have the God kind of faith, you got to learn to act like God and do what God did. Not in a disrespectful way, but in a way that we're instructed to. The God kind of faith was that the Spirit of God was there. You all have Holy Spirit in you. The Spirit of God is here. But the Spirit of God being present in Genesis chapter 1 didn't get the job done. Nothing happened. The problem still existed. You understand? It went away when God said, let there be what? He spoke it. And he believed it in his heart, and it came to pass. Because that's the God kind of faith. And Jesus said that we're supposed to have the God kind of faith. We're to speak unto this mountain, whatever your mountain may be. Don't let it scare you. You're to have the God kind of faith. Speak unto your mountain. Speak unto the mountain. Cast in the sea. And shall not doubt in his where? Not in your head. You're going to have doubts in your head. The devil's going to whisper in your ear that you can't do it. But he's not able to touch your heart. I'm going to show you as we continue in this series. You believe from the heart. You can doubt up here, but you believe from the heart. That's the God kind of faith. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. You excited yet? You better be, because I'm telling you, this is good stuff. This will change your life. This is the God kind of faith. This is something that I've searched for years and years and years. An answer. And I've heard a lot of things about faith, but it just wasn't fitting. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Okay? It's not a Pied Piper follower. God doesn't play his flute and get you to follow him. That's not what the word followers means. To be a follower of God comes from the Greek word menetes. It means to imitate. To be mimicked. Did you ever do that in school? Somebody looks at you and they're scratching their head and then you go like this. And then they go like this and you go like this. It usually winds up in a fight at the end. Stop mimicking me. Stop imitating me. Did you ever hear that? We're supposed to imitate God. People are supposed to be able to look at us and see God in us. If we imitate God, if we copy God, if we follow God's love and God's command, the way we act, the way we speak, people should be able to look at us. And here, Ephesians, the greatest revelation written to the church, encourages us, be imitators of God. Now that is not blaspheme. It's talking about imitating your father. I can't tell you how many times people come into my garage, look at Steve and says, you look just like your father. See, because he copies me, his appearance, his stance, his attitudes a lot of times. That's not good, but they know he's my son. People should know that you are a son or a daughter of God just by looking at you. Because you're an imitator. You're a follower. Now, you don't imitate God by going around saying nasty things all your life. You don't imitate God by walking around with your head down saying, I'm a failure. You don't imitate God going around doing bad things. That's not imitating God. Well, it might be, but it's the wrong God. You're to imitate God. Be an imitator of God. The word imitator means to clone. You're a little clone. You're a little me. Big me, little me. You ever seen that movie? Now, in order to move forward in the study of faith, and particularly the faith of God, I need to set the foundation of Bible kinds of faith according to the Scriptures. Bible kinds of faith according to the Scriptures. And you see, you can't teach any more than what you know. You can't do it. And whenever you begin to work a subject in the Word of God, you must be as willing to unlearn as you are to learn something. If your foundation, if your understanding, foundation, your premise of what faith is wrong, the tendency will be to view everything you read or study in light of your theology. That's what the tendency will be. Remember a few weeks ago, I told you the story about a guy that came into the garage and he told me he was an agnostic. He was an agnostic. And I was okay with that. But then he made the mistake and began to run his mouth and say something about God. And that I wasn't okay with. The statement that ticked me off was something to the effect that if I live a good life and I don't hurt anyone and God wants to send me to hell for that, then so be it. What kind of a loving God is that? That was a statement he made. See? In other words, God's not a loving God. Now the reason why he made that statement was because his premise was wrong. His foundation was wrong. His worldview was wrong on how he viewed God. He viewed God as a judge who's going to set down a bunch of rules and regulations, and if you don't do what I say, I'm going to club you and send you to hell. That's the way he viewed God. But he started out wrong. And because he started out wrong, he made that statement, and he viewed life in light of that statement. So the next day when he came in, I simply read to him John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I said, see, you come from the wrong premise. You come from the wrong foundation. You think God's going to send you to hell. That's wrong. The truth of the matter is, God's saving you from hell because you're already gone there. And if he's reaching down to you to try to help you and save you from a place that you're already gone to because legally you belong to the devil because you were born dead in trespasses and sin, that's not a mean God. That's a God who loves, who's reaching out, who's doing everything he can, who sent his Son to die for you. Now, that's a whole different picture about God, isn't it? Well, yeah. I says, do you understand that? Well, yeah, I understand that. I says, do you want to accept that? Well, no. But that's okay. Because at least he understood what he was saying no to. God's not going to send him to hell. He was already going to hell, quote unquote. You understand? God intervenes to save. What caused that man to make that statement? What caused that man to make that statement was the belief that God is a judge and that if you don't do what God says to do, he's going to judge you and send you to hell. That's what caused that man to make that statement. So he viewed life in light of that. He viewed life in light of that. His premise was all wrong. He started out with wrong believing, wrong foundation, wrong theology. He went to Roman Catholic school. He was confirmed. He received Holy Communion. He received baptism. But somewhere along the way, he never got born again. Received all the sacraments and never got born again. well, that were available to receive.
See. Now, when it comes to working the Word of God, if you have been instructed wrong about a particular subject, you will view what you're working in the Word of God through your preconceived theology. That's the way it works. You will interpret the Word of God through your preconceived theology. For instance, if I believed in the doctrine of the Trinity, you can go to Genesis 1:26, and a lot of people do, and take the verse where it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Let us make man in our image," so on and so forth. Now give this verse to a Trinitarian, and a Trinitarian will remark that the "us" and the "our" in verse 26 is referring to Jesus and God. They had a talk about creation, they talked it over, and they said, "Well, this is what we decided to do." You talk to someone who's not a Trinitarian, they'll remark it's a figure of speech. The same type of figure that the Queen of England would use when she refers to herself, "We, the Queen of England." It's a figure to show that she's speaking in her royal capacity, so she uses the plural. It's a figure. She would not use this figure if she was going through the drive-in at Burger King. Say, "We, the Queen of England, want a Whopper." She would just say, "Can I have a Whopper? The Queen wants a Whopper, or Elizabeth wants a Whopper." Is that who it is? Yeah. Or when she's at the grocery store talking to the grocery store, she wouldn't walk up to the counter and say, "We, the Queen, want to buy a lottery ticket." The guy behind the counter will say, "Well, hey, Liz, what's up? Can I have 536 boxed?" She was in England or American, that would happen. You understand? And then there's multitudes of scriptures that if you're a Trinitarian, you're going to interpret those scriptures in light of your theology. John chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And you know what the Trinitarians will teach? They'll teach that Jesus Christ was with God in the beginning, because he's the Word in the flesh. And they'll go off and say so forth. Now that's not my dispute or my point. I'm simply trying to show you that if you believe a dogma, a doctrine, you understand? If you believe something about the scripture, that you will, the tendency will be for you to interpret everything you read to fit with inside that, because you don't want to contradict it. That's what the tendency is going to be. The problem with that is that works on the negative and the positive. And that is exactly the problem that I had with faith. That's the problem I had with faith. You see, because before I could move forward with faith in the Word of God, I had to unlearn some things on the subject. Because every time I tried to move forward on the subject of faith in the Word of God, I kept hitting a brick wall. And one of the things that you got to understand about God, about healing, about deliverance, about any subject in the Word of God, God says yea and amen. So it's done. It's available if it's applicable to you. If it doesn't work, if something's not working in your life, you got to change something. Because it's not God's fault. You understand? This is 100% true 100% of the time. If you're not getting something in your life, it's not on God's end. You are the one that better start changing something in your life so you can line up with God to get God's best. It's always that way, 100% of the time. It's never God's fault. If I'm trying
to have something or receive something from God and I'm not getting it, you want to know something? It's not God's fault. Does God lie?
No.
No, he can't lie. And if he says, this is yours, it's available, and I'm not walking in it, can it be his fault? Because if I say it's his fault, then I'm saying he's a liar. It's always, 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 100% of the time, hands down, never changes, your fault. Now, you may not understand. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I'm not blaming you. Don't take that and let the devil tell you that. I'm just telling you that you need to either get educated or you need to change. And then when you change and you line yourself up, then you're able to receive from God, right? You know that, right?
Yes.
Sure it is. Sure it's right.
This was the problem I had when I started in the whole spirit realm. One of the problems that I had and everybody else that came from where I came had, only I overcome it because I was willing to unlearn, was the whole red light, green light scenario. Now, what it was and when it was taught may have been a good thing for a certain teaching, but I must have misinterpreted, along with thousands of others, to wait on God to give me a green light to do something he's already commissioned me to do back in the Gospels. Heal the sick, speak in tongues, cast out demons. And the way I figured it out was not through any biblical research. The way I figured it out was that if I need a green light to cast out a demon, then I need a green light to speak in tongues because they're in the same verse. That's how I figured it out. And when I sat and I explained that to someone, they just shook their head. They couldn't, because it was so simple. And once I understood that truth, that I didn't need a sign, because basically what it boiled down to is I was seeking a sign from God. You know what the sign was? A red light or a green light? For me. I was seeking a sign. But the Bible says in Mark 16 that signs, miracles, and wonders follow what?
Believers.
You don't get them first. They follow what? Believers. As you act, the Lord endorses with signs, miracles, and wonders.
I was waiting for the Lord to tell me to do something when he already told me to do it. And because I didn't get it right, for years, I just hovered over the earth. The Spirit of God was there, saw the mess, saw everything, but nothing happened until he what?
Spoke.
I just hovered. You know how many people are doing that today? They just hover. They got the Spirit of God in it, then they're observing. They're observing the disarray. They're observing the problems. They're observing everything that's going on that's bad. But you know what? They won't speak. They won't believe. They won't exercise their faith. They hover. Or you know what they'll do? They'll pray about it. God has no hands but what? He don't want you to pray about it. He wants you to do something. Do something. Well, I was asking God to give me a sign when all along Mark said, signs follow believers. I had it backwards. But I got it straight. And when I got it straight, I was able to walk in power. But not until. Not until. Galatians 3. Now what I'm going to show you tonight, and we're going to end it on this particular subject. But there's a lot more. But I don't want to give it to you so fast that you don't get to chew on it for a while. This was one of the things that I had to unlearn. Because I always kept coming back to this verse, and I always hit a brick wall with faith. Galatians 3, verse 22. But the scripture hath concluded, all under sin.
That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe.
Now, this is talking about the promise of Abraham. If you want to understand that, get the kingdom of God level one. I go into great depth with that. And here it is. But before faith came, we were kept under the law and shut up under faith, the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Before faith came. Verse 25. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now in Galatians 3:23, okay, I was taught that there was no faith in the Old Testament because Galatians 3:23 said, before faith came. So if it's before faith came, there had to be a time that there was no faith, and that's logical. And I'm not disputing that. That's absolutely correct. There was a time where there was no faith. However, the problem with that statement is that that statement is coming from the premise that there was no faith before faith came. And this is what people do when they make this mistake. They take a word and they define everything by that word, and they ignore usage and use of the word. That's what happens. So we got the word faith, and now we got to cram in everything we understand about faith under the definition of this word. Now I'm going to show you how simple this is. It's going to be so simple, you're going to look at it, and when you see it, you're going to scratch your head, and you're going to say, why did I see it? Then I won't be able to teach it to you, that's why. I was taught there was no faith in the Old Testament because Galatians 3:23 said, before faith came, so there must have been a time where there was no faith. That statement and that belief, that theology, that dogma, that doctrine that I was taught from a wrong premise. And everything I viewed in light of what I was taught. And it wasn't until I untaught myself and took a fresh look at the Word of God that I began to understand what the Scripture said. Because once you set that doctrine, you view everything in light of that doctrine. And if you do that, you're dead in the water even before you start. You'll never get off the ground. You just spin your wheels. So what's the answer? It's very simple. It's in the verse right where it's written. Galatians 3, verse 25 says, but after that faith is come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster, for ye are all children of God by faith in Christ, who?
Jesus.
By faith in Christ Jesus.
After that faith has come, you're no longer here. By faith in Christ Jesus. By faith in Christ Jesus. The faith that is referred to here is the faith of Jesus Christ that's given to every believer when he gets born again. Now, was there a time when there was not faith? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me back up. Was there a time, more accurately, when there was not the faith of Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Because in order to have the faith of Jesus Christ had to be what?
Here.
Right. Oh, you're all right. Born, come. Had to go through life. Had to do what he had to do. Right? Had to give the gift of Holy Spirit. When? And then you're born again by what?
Holy Spirit.
Seed. And then you have who in you?
Christ.
When? And then you have the what? Faith of what?
That's right.
Before faith came. Ain't that simple? See how simple it is? Yes, there was a time before the faith of Jesus Christ was available. Absolutely. Absolutely. But that doesn't mean that there wasn't faith available. What it means is that the faith of Christ by seed, born again, wasn't available. That's what it means. How you like that? It's pretty good, huh? Sure it is.
Before faith came, we were kept under the law of 23, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. What ended the law? The administration of what?
Grace.
Grace. Could anyone have the faith of Jesus Christ before Pentecost?
No.
Because it didn't come.
Before faith came, before the administration of grace, before Pentecost, before Christ in you, you're sure. But that doesn't mean there wasn't faith. There was faith.
But it wasn't the faith of Jesus Christ that you and I have after Pentecost by seed.
Why wasn't it the faith of Jesus Christ?
Available.
There you go. Ain't that simple? Because it wasn't available. Wasn't available. Oh my goodness, but let's not look at that. This is just going to start get exciting for you. Romans 16.
Because you got to understand that being born again, the grace administration, all that other stuff there, talking about that kind of stuff, is all tied into what? The great what?
The
great mystery. Romans, look at it. 16:25.
Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel.
What was Paul's gospel? It was the gospel of grace. It was the gospel of the administration of the mystery. It was Paul's gospel.
Now unto him that is able to establish you unto my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the what? Mystery. Which is kept secret since the world what?
Began.
You know why it was kept secret since the world began? Because there was a time coming where faith was coming. And God didn't want the devil to know that faith was coming. What kind of faith? Faith of Jesus Christ. Because had the devil known about the mystery and that faith was coming, would he crucify the Lord of glory? No. So what did God do?
Shh.
Kept it a secret. Before faith came, nobody knew. It was a secret.
Don't believe me. Read the next verse. But what's that word? What is now?
Time. Before. After, now. He's talking about the mystery. He's talking about the power of God. He's saying what? But what? Now. Now. When he got his gospel, when the administration of grace, when he got the understanding of us. But now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of what?
Faith.
How do you like that? Been there all them years. Obedience of faith. Whose faith is he talking about? Now kind of faith. What's the now kind of faith? Faith of Jesus Christ. Faith that comes with the new birth. Faith that you got since the day Pentecost and forward. But now.
Yeah, we ain't done there. Go to Colossians. Colossians 1, verse 25.
It was of faith that God made known to all nations. Were all nations included before? No. Jesus said to his disciples, don't go where? Into the ways of the Gentiles. But now, something has changed. Something's changed.
made known to all nations for the obedience of what? Faith. And that's that faith of the grace administration, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, when you get born again after the day of Pentecost. Verse 25, whereof, Colossians 1, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which was given to me for who?
You
to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but what? What's the word?
Now.
It's a now. Now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. That's the riches of the mystery. The mystery was that the Jew and the Gentile would be fellow heirs in Christ. But the riches of that mystery was Christ in you. And when Christ gets in you, he comes to you by what? Seed. And when he comes into you, you get what? The faith of Jesus Christ, which was not available before faith came, before he was born, before his passion, before all that. There was faith, but it wasn't this faith. This faith you receive at the time of the new birth, and it's by seed. No one can take it away from you. Galatians 3 again. I just got done reading to you. The glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Galatians 3:26. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Was that faith available before Jesus Christ came? Before faith came. Who brought the faith?
Jesus
did. See how simple that is? If I may borrow a phrase, fits like a hand in a glove. It's that simple. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, nor bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ. You know what makes you all one in Christ? That seed, born again. Born again. Romans 10. Now this verse will make a lot more sense to you, because you always spit it out. Verse 8. See, normally we start at verse 9, but we're going to start with verse 8. Romans 10:8. But what saith it? What does the scripture say? It says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Remember I taught you about confession and believing? Confession is what done with the what?
No.
And believing is done with the what?
Heart.
Heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Who wrote Romans? Paul did. And he says he's preaching to them the word of faith. It's nigh you. You can get this if you want it. It's in your mouth. And it's in your heart. What's in your heart, mouth and heart? The word of faith. And that's what I'm preaching to you. The word of faith. And he went and left home. No. How do I get it? Verse 9. That if thou shalt what?
Confess.
That's the mouth part. That if thou shalt what? Confess. With thy what? Can he make it any simpler? What did the scripture say? The word is nigh thee. What's the scripture? You want it? You can have it. The word is nigh thee. Even in thy mouth. It's as close as your mouth. And as close as your heart. This is all you need. That's what he's saying. Then he goes on. He says, confess with your mouth. What was he teaching them? The word of faith. I'm going to show you how to get faith. I'm going to show you how to do it. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine what?
Heart.
That God hath raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be what?
Saved.
Born again, saved,
child of God, call it what you want it, but at that time, God in Christ in you comes into you by what? Seed lives inside of you, and you got the faith of Jesus Christ, which before faith came was not available, because now it's after the day of Pentecost. That's something? Sure, it's something. And if that don't excite you, I'm going to hold a mirror under your nose to see if you're alive. This is tremendous. Really, I mean, this is, it's incredible. It's incredible. 17. Romans. No, no. 10. Romans 17. 10. 10. 10. 17, verse 17. So then, faith. So then what?
Faith.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of what? That's how you got it. You got it. How did you get it? You did 9 and 10. You confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You believed in your heart that God raised them from the dead. You got the word of faith. And then he goes and says a couple other things. And he reiterates and says, faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing the what? There you go. The God kind of faith is the faith that God has. When he speaks, it is so. The God kind of faith was the faith that Mary had when she said, be it unto me according to thy word. And it was what? Unto her. Was that before faith came? Faith? Yes. Could she have Christ in her? Well, literally. But she didn't have the faith of Christ in her yet, right? That's a God kind of faith. But there are different kinds of faith. Unless you understand that there are different kinds of faith, you'll never be able to put the word together. And I'll tell you another clue. Everywhere you read the word pistis in the New Testament, it should not be translated believing. If you do that, you will shoot yourself in the foot and you will never understand faith. Never do it. Never do it. There was plenty of faith in the Old Testament. Hebrews 11 says, by faith, so-and-so. By faith, so-and-so. By faith, so-and-so. Plenty of faith. But it was before the faith of Jesus Christ came. But it was faith. Just like there was the Spirit of God in the Old Testament. Did they have it by seed? No, they had it what? Upon. They had it upon. We'll continue. And you'll be blessed. So let's pray. Father, thanks for your word. Thanks that we go little by little, Father, and we just take our time to rework this stuff and understand and just see how plain and simple it is, and that we can have the God kind of faith because we are children by seed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.